For 6 years, rock climber Tommy Caldwell stared at an immense blank rock wall. Meticulously planning how he would scale up the Dawn Wall of El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. It's a mountain face long considered too steep to climb, easily the world's most challenging climb. Tommy Caldwell eventually completed the first solo free climb, no assistance, of the Dawn Wall in January of 2015. After 19 days of continuous climbing along with his partner Kevin Jorgensen, these sounds simply do not do justice to the pictures of Tommy on the rock holding on like some flea and the spectacular view from Tommy's perspective on that wall. Caldwell's new book is called The Push, A Climber's Journey of Endurance, Risk, and Going Beyond Limits.
The push is what we call our final attempt on a big climb. You practice it for a lot of years and then you make a push at the end. So that's where the idea came from. But also one of the most dramatic moments of my life was actually this moment where I pushed an Islamic militant over a cliff, which is, you know, this life-changing moment, which is kind of central to the book in a lot of ways.
Oh, right. And the Islamist militants, that's just another chapter in Caldwell's story. When he was 21 and climbing in Kyrgyzstan, he was captured and held hostage by militants for 6 days until he saw a moment to push his captor off a cliff and made an 18-mile trek to safety.
The next morning, the morning after my birthday, we got shot at from, we were 1,000 feet up a cliff. And we were in these hanging cots, these fabric tents high up on the wall, and the bolts were coming straight up from below, and there's no way to run away. So, I mean, it was like a coming-of-age moment in every way for me. I was a kid. I was 21 years old and quite young for a 21-year-old going into that place. And then I came out of it thinking that I had killed somebody. I came out of it... it was such an intense experience that I'm kind of still digesting it in a lot of ways.
Caldwell is 38 now. He's got one less finger than he used to, which he decided to permanently remove after an accident because he thought it would hurt his climbing, though it didn't stop him from the Dawn Wall. He also is married and has children of his own that he takes on adventures around the world, all part of a life that he doesn't see as one of conquest, but instead one of rhythm. And a life he definitely does not want to lose.
You know, I think people love to use this word conquer in climbing, and I kind of don't like that word so much because...
You're
not going to conquer the rock. You're not going to conquer nature. It's more like this merging. It's like a dance or something. We want to become part of it. We don't want to fight against it.
And so when did you formulate the idea that this was something you were going to actually do?
That face of El Capitan is incredibly inspiring to really anybody that goes to Yosemite. Yeah. You look up there and it's just big and it's massive and it seems otherworldly. And to climbers, we go there and we're like, that looks so absurd to climb that the fact that people do climb it is just incredibly inspiring. So when I was a teenager, it's all I wanted to do. And then I spent 20 years of my life going there and failing and then figuring out how to climb it and going back over and over again and eventually getting to the point where I was climbing the aspects of it that nobody else really thought could be climbed. And that was a cool place to be. Like all of a sudden I was like Shaq. You know, I was like one of these adventurers. I was exploring something. I was like, I have to seize this.
What are the fails like when you're trying for that long to achieve something?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way I've formatted my life is that I fail 95% of the time. So I'm kind of used to it. It's like I pick these goals and I don't reach them most of the time. And you start to realize that those goals, all they are focal points. It really, it's that life of pursuit that is the richness. And that's what I'm in it for.
And there's rock climbing and there's recreational rock climbing and then there's – you know, where you push yourself the way you're talking about. What distinguishes the very best climbers from people who just are weekend rock climbers who are pushing themselves, to be sure, but there's a very, very high altitude, small group of people who do what you do.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a... What distinguishes them? If I have to boil it down, I think it's people that are... genuinely inspired and motivated for kind of these personal growth reasons rather than how they're going to be seen by others. I think it has to – it's such a personal thing, you know?
So you're trying to convince me that it's actually a form of sanity not insanity to do what you do.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, I mean, as I'm digesting that comment, I think that's very accurate. I never, just like I don't like the word thrill seeker or the word conquer, I don't really like the word insane either. That's not why we're doing it.
You're not reckless.
That's arguable.
Okay.
I definitely have been reckless at times in my life. But it's almost like you have to like wrestle with that reckless nature to figure out how to, yeah, I don't know. Climbing is like this. It's like negotiating the minefield on a daily basis, and you eventually figure out a way to safely make it through.
There's so much talk about climate change and the fact that the Earth is changing and that the forests and the primordial landscapes and ecosystems have been so altered by human beings. The rocks are special. How do you view that?
I am out. You know, I spend the majority of my life in these very high mountain environments. I'm walking on the glaciers that are receding every year. The rocks are actually falling apart because
really?
Of yeah,
so
and a lot
changing
of places
too.
Like yeah, places like the Alps. You know, these mountains are used to being frozen together, and as all that ice melts, the rocks start to fall apart. And so, I think we experience the effects of the changing climate.
So we think of rocks as permanent, but in fact, they're not.
They're more permanent than glaciers, I suppose, but they are affected. Everything's affected, and you understand how intertwined everything is.
How is what you do different from climbing Mount Everest and all the controversy that's associated with the Everest climbs and the disasters that have happened up there? And
You know, Everest is this interesting thing because it's the highest, it's really this ego-driven place. Like people come there and they, you know, in great masses just to put a check mark in the box, basically, to say that I've climbed Mount Everest. Most people, at least until recently, had no idea what big wall free climbing is. You know, it's not really an ego-driven thing. So it's – well, no, I'll take that back. It is an ego-driven thing. Everything's an ego-driven thing. But I feel in my biased opinion that it's a bit more pure, I suppose.
So your dad passed the torch to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got any plans to encourage some – little shaver to
yeah, I mean, I've got
walk on the moon or something.
I've got two kids of my own. I got a 4-year-old son, Fitz, and a 1-year-old daughter, Ingrid, and we just returned from a 2-month climbing trip in Europe with them. So I want to live in that example that my dad showed me, but I might want to tone it back just a little bit because the one thing about going outside and experiencing the adventurous things, like when I was really young, my dad was like taking me out in storms and we were sleeping in snow caves when I was like 3.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, and it changed my idea of risk a little bit. Like I yeah. became somewhat reckless just because I was so used to it. So with my own kids, I want them to be enriched by nature and I want them to understand adventure, but I maybe want them to tone it back just a little bit, you know?
Tommy Caldwell, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Tommy Caldwell, rock climber and the author of The Push, A Climber's Journey of Endurance, Risk, and Going Beyond Limits.